You're with your baby girl. You've been practicing your mamas and dadas for weeks. And now she looks up and begins to mouth her very first words. This is the moment you've been waiting for. It's time to visit your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer and test drive the all-new GLE. With the first era of the Mercedes-Benz user experience and optional third-row seating for your whole family. Smart mama. Smart dada. Visit mbusa.com/GLE to learn more. Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Some equipment described as optional.
Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And welcome to Roast Chestnuts, a podcast where we give made-for-TV Christmas movies the attention they deserve.
And today we have Ira MacLizett, the journalist and novelist whose book that she co-wrote with Sarah Breen, Oh My God, What Complete Aisling, is a bestseller.
Woo! Novelist sounds so fancy. Thank you, Jean.
Award-nominated novelist.
Award-nominated Irish Book Awards. You can vote online. Thank you.
Hopefully this is still is out before the awards, though.
They're not for another few weeks, so.
Retroactively vote for Sarah and Emer. And today we're talking about a movie from 2016 called A Heavenly Christmas. Do you want to synopsize?
Yeah, give us the high version.
Okay, so it stars Kirsten Davis, who, Emer, we decided before we entered the podcast, we're just going to call her Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Charlotte from Sex and the City,
Although her name is important. So
what
we
is
might
her name in it? Oh, yeah, I've just remembered it.
What is her name?
It's Eve.
Oh, yes.
Christmas
kind
Eve.
Of a major plot point.
Yeah. They talk about that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So she plays a executive in some business. Something to do with stocks, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a hedge fund of some sort, maybe.
She talks about
making partner, which happens a lot in American films, and it seems really important.
Yeah, I think it means loads of money.
Yeah.
And you can maybe retire earlier or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You play golf. So she wants to make partner. It's the run up to Christmas. She's going to work Christmas Eve or the Christmas party because she wants to beat Carter, a guy in the office, to partner.
Yes.
And then she's walking home from the office one day and she slips and bangs her head. And I got terrified at this scene because she's just walking in her shoes. And then she wakes up in heaven. And then Shirley MacLaine is an angel.
Yeah.
And she's teaching her how to be an angel, and they decide to send Charlotte from Sex and the City / Eve down to Earth to perform a Christmas miracle, which includes talking to Eric McCormack.
Will from Will and Grace.
Will from Will and Grace. And getting him to follow his dream to be a musician or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's answering a prayer. She's answering Eric McCormack, Will from Will and Grace's niece's prayer that they'll all live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, a lot happens.
Yeah, and when she's down there, she starts to develop feelings for the man who she's meant to help, which is against the angel rules.
Yeah.
There's a lot of angel rules. You have to get through all of them.
Yeah. There's a lot of convenient angel rules.
So, when I first started watching the movie or before I started watching it, I had total name blindness of Kirsten Davis.
Yeah.
She was just
Charlotte.
What's her name? Yeah. Charlotte. And I found it really disconcerting watching movies to see Charlotte work.
Yeah.
In Sex and the City, she just stood there.
Yeah.
Because I know people who work in art galleries, they don't just stand there. But Charlotte did a lot of that.
She did a lot of standing there.
It
was disconcerting, to see Charlotte from Sex and the City working in an office.
Yeah.
But she did well, I thought.
She was on the way to making partner.
Yeah.
Before the
fall. A lot of times in these kind of films, to set up the big change, they'll make her be really unpleasant beforehand. But she wasn't. She was actually quite friendly to everybody, but just super focused and not interested in their lives at all. But she was quite like her neighbour in the elevator. She didn't want one of those jumpers, but she wasn't a dick about it necessarily. So her friend offers her a horrible Christmas jumper, and she's like, "You're grand."
Yeah.
But not in a stereotypical film bitch way. Mm.
So the film starts, and you're like, "Oh, she's like a Scrooge-like character. She hates Christmas. She's humbug. She doesn't.
The kitchen is clean.
But has only bottled water in it.
And she's going to go on a journey. And she's
a cat.
I know she has a cat. As do I.
Yeah.
You think she's going to just be a Scrooge and she's going to be visited by three ghosts and whatever. And I mean, it's kind of like a Scrooge-like story, but it's not really. And she's not nasty enough to be a Scrooge.
No. She just really wants that promotion.
Yeah. Like, some, she rings someone and they're off diving in the Caymans for Christmas, and she doesn't like throw a fit about it. She's like, oh, grand, you're in the Caymans. Mm. She doesn't want everybody else to work as hard as she does. She just wants to do her thing.
I love the mention of the Caymans because, you know, in, say, a John Grisham novel, that's like, oh, dodgy.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
in Ireland, it's like, oh, dodgy, but also my uncle.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Don't we do learn kind of halfway through the film that the reason she works so hard is because she used to be poor mm-hmm. when she was a kid yes. and that she doesn't ever want to be poor again. But that's kind of cack-handedly shoved yeah. in as, yeah. as a plot point.
And I think it's a really good, it would have been a really good avenue to explore because there's a really good novel by Sarah Manning called Unsticky, and it's about a girl who works in magazines and she's on entry-level salary in London of 14k a year, and she starts dating a rich guy basically for money. He gives her allowance every month for clothes and stuff. Like, that's just the arrangement they have. And
sounds ideal.
I know, like, he's expecting her to go to expensive events. So then her colleagues find out at one stage and basically start calling her a whore and all this sort of stuff. And her boss takes her side because the boss just goes, I've been poor and I've been rich and I'll take rich mm-hmm. anytime. And, you know, I think that people, you know, everyone's like, when you're 22, you're like, oh, money doesn't matter to me. I just want to be happy. And then you hit 27 and you're like, I understand property ownership now. I understand why people do this. Yeah. And I do think they should have explored that a bit more. Like, that financial insecurity yeah. was why she was building up these emotional yeah. barriers.
Mm. And since she's not entitled, that's probably why she's nice and not like a stereotypical rich person.
Yeah, she worked for all that.
She worked for it all. Yeah.
And she doesn't care if other people aren't working as hard as she is. Mm. She just wants to have her own nice things.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't really like Christmas. Mm. Is it because did their parents die at Christmas, or is there something about...
They didn't have much for Christmas.
Yeah. They didn't have a tree.
They didn't have a tree. Yeah. So she grew up poor. They didn't have a Christmas tree. Christmas is a bit hard for her. So
yeah. But you could also look at... So before she has the nasty fall, her brother comes in to visit her in the office, but she arranges to meet them in the boardroom yeah. and they get catering from the company.
And she's cancelled yeah. on three times already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a half an hour meeting. And then she likes to make it up to the kids. She buys them bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the dad's like, you're going to make me look like shit.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, that's too much. But like, in her philosophy, that's meant to bring you happiness.
Yeah.
Mm. So
he also invites her to dinner and says it's going to make her special, which are green beans, which is more of her aesthetic kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
her like luxurious Christmas food is some beans.
Yeah.
They love I think green beans
is like a real American Thanksgiving dish.
Yeah, oh, they're like covered
yeah,
in butter and
there's
stuff.
Probably marshmallows in them or
that's
something.
That's true. Yeah. Maple syrup.
Yeah, yeah, but she has a brother who is trying to get her to be more family oriented. Although she's not anti-family, she just is just into her job and living by herself with the cat in the sterile yeah. apartment. Yeah.
This is now, a lot of these movies focus on family, so they really want to push her into that narrative. God forbid you're happy alone.
Yeah.
You know. These Hallmark films, so these are specially made for TV Christmas yes. films that they make for the Hallmark Channel every
subscription,
year.
Subscription service that I got a pop-up there last night.
Oh, they've been listening to you.
I was kind of like, I was like, signed up to enough things in my time, I might as well.
But a lot of them are on YouTube. Because yeah, I watched this one on YouTube.
And there's nobody taking them down. Yeah. Nobody cares.
And they all have... So this one's a Heavenly Christmas. There are a lot of Christmas wishes.
Oh, once you click on one, like you're down the rabbit hole.
A Family at Christmas.
Yeah.
This is actually... Because there's a very good AV Club article about Hallmark and their Christmas movies and stuff. So there's actually two Hallmark channels. There's Hallmark Channel and then Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, which are the slightly darker ones. And that's where this one comes in. This is in on the Movies and Mysteries channel.
Really?
Because there's like death and stuff and it's a bit more complex.
Also, I noticed it had the praying thing. That doesn't necessarily happen in a lot of the ones we're watching for this. There's not as big a focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
This one is very much.
I was worried that this one, because of its title and because you know pretty much from the get-go that she's going to be an angel for it, I was worried it was going to be a lot more religious than it was. And it wasn't really. Like, okay, she's an angel, but... That's kind of where the God talk stops. Like, there isn't really that much talk about religion, which was good, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't have to, like, make anybody repent or anything. There's no, like, big moral message necessarily in it. It's more about just appreciating things rather than just, like,
and she doesn't
right
have
wrong.
To deal with a God character. The only other heavenly creature she deals with is Shirley MacLaine.
Unless you're really into Shirley MacLaine.
Who is a heavenly creature.
Yeah.
I love Shirley MacLaine because she has said some kind of mental stuff in the past few years. Like, I think she's big into numerology or something like that. But I love that. I think her and Warren must have the best Christmases ever, and Annette Bening's just there in the middle. And I like to imagine she's smoking like her character in 20th Century Women just to get through the day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because they're probably like, you know, the way they came of age in the 60s and 70s, and Annette's like an 80s power lady. And I just can imagine the stuff they say.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a movie I want to watch.
We haven't talked much about Will from Will and Grace.
No, so we meet him next.
So good. So much to say.
So she meets him initially before her fall, and he's sharing a taxi with her.
Yeah.
And she's like, we have to use my route. I'm running late. And he's like, I'm running late too. And he's running late for an audition. Mm-hmm. For some kind of variety show, but he's also got a past where he's a musician who's sort of given up on life.
Yeah.
And is devoted to running his diner. But tell us about Will from Will and Grace.
So many surprising things I learned about Will from Will and Grace in this film. A, he's a singer and a guitar player.
He does actually play that guitar.
Yeah, he's a kind of a struggling musician who has adopted his niece after her parents died in a car crash, and he works in a diner, but he also plays guitar and sings. And like Eric McCormack, who is Will from Will and Grace, I have no idea what his name is in the film. It's just Will from Will and Grace. Is it Kevin? No, Max. It's Max.
Yeah, found it in my notes. Two pages into my notes, I find he...
He's extremely tanned, like too tanned, worryingly tanned. Mm-hmm. He's still wearing his Will and Grace clothes from 2002, yes. Like tight ribbed t-shirts.
I enjoyed them then.
And like a collarless leather jacket, yeah. Even though it's Chicago in the winter, which is cold. Mm-hmm. He should be wearing a heavier coat.
Wearing parkas.
Yeah. I doubt they filmed it in December, really. But
no, but they're all filmed in Vancouver anyway.
Oh, are they?
All of them, yeah.
This one did have like that big myrrh bean thing that everyone takes their Instagram.
It had some good Chicago
establishment.
Not,
Wicker Park.
Not with any of the characters in it, though, most importantly.
Yeah.
This is a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie as well, but it was made as a Hall of Fame movie.
So Shirley MacLaine, would she make it?
I think
Hall
maybe
of Fame?
That means that you have there's three people you recognise in it instead of one or two. Have a slightly bit of extra budget.
Yeah, like I was impressed by the star power.
Yeah,
like
because Eric McCormack is doing well. Like Will and Grace is back.
That's the only other thing he's ever been in. I looked it up.
But he probably made a load from syndication.
Yeah, probably.
It's like the way people are like, oh, Jennifer Aniston's stuck in like these movies like The Breakup and stuff. And you're like, Jennifer Aniston is the most fine person in the world.
Yeah.
Like I felt, so I was wondering, was he hired for this role because of his amazing musical abilities?
I would say not, because we do hear him strumming it and the lyrics are very bad. But he wasn't always a struggling musician.
No.
He won a talent competition with his sister who died. That's
his
really
dead
sad.
Sister. Yeah.
But what was the name of the show they won?
America's Got Music.
And the song, they show the video of it and it's so
It's bad. The worst song in the world. What did I say?
So creepy.
Yeah. It's like a weird...
Crystal Swing,
the Mavericks, Crystal Swing kind of thing,
But I mean, big budget. They put together like a fake video of him and the sister winning America's Got Music, or their audition, or something.
And they have a few photos as well. They look like they're made on.
But tragically,
that was the worst Photoshop I've ever seen. Yes. That family photo. he's holding a guitar, an acoustic guitar, up at his chin, with his hand splayed across the side of it, and then the niece is like stuck in the bottom of it, and they're all. They all look like drawings of photos that they've photoshopped into them.
Yeah.
They're just awful. But yeah.
I would visit a blog dedicated to badly photoshopped fake
photos.
In films, because there are a lot of them.
Like, I would love if Twitter just did stop existing tomorrow, because it would bring back the return of blogs.
Yeah.
Because I used to spend hours on like Google blogs and Tumblrs.
Yeah.
Because the only Tumblrs left now are like really creepy shipper ones.
Yeah.
Mm. And
speaking of which, I was on a Chris Evans, Jenny Slate Tumblr last night wondering if the rumours are true about them being back together. I think they're true.
Yeah.
I did some sleuthing and I think they're true.
I'd love if Jenny now did one of these films.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. She's too famous. She's too good. Yeah,
she could just do one though, just to do one. Like, you know, Will Ferrell did like a Spanish language film just for the sake of it.
And Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler did one.
Oh, House.
No, they did a Lifetime movie.
Did they?
Did they really?
Was it? No, it was Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell. One about the babysitter.
Oh, that's right, they did.
Like, apparently Lifetime didn't know what was happening, and Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell just thought this was really funny to do, because like, they have enough money.
Yeah.
That they were like,
that's amazing.
They were like, let's do this. Yeah. And they did. And my mother, I think, watched it, or she downloaded it onto the TV, and it is really funny. It's not meant to be funny.
Yeah.
But they just did it. And I just love that, like, the financial security of just being like, I want to do a TV film.
Yeah.
And James Franco, like, did General Hospital and stuff, didn't he?
He
or
did,
Days of
yeah.
Our Lives.
Was that not before he was famous?
No, no, he went back
really?
To the, like, after
yeah.
Spider-Man.
He does
yeah.
whatever he wants.
Oh.
I hope he wins an Oscar next
now,
year.
I don't know if Eric McCormack, Will from Will and Grace, is doing this just for the crack.
No.
No.
I think
no.
he was doing it for the cash.
Yeah.
I think Christmas films are a steady source of yearly income.
Yeah.
So definitely get shown at least three
like,
times.
He's not bad in it. I was worried I wouldn't be able to stop seeing him as Will from Will and Grace. Mm. But after about 20 minutes,
you know
I was
when
like,
he,
no, I can see it. I
when
can
he
see
played
it.
That guitar badly, he yeah. became that character
he
for
really
me.
He really did.
He lost that kind of elegance and sophistication. Yeah.
So she's sent back from heaven back to earth to help fulfill his niece's Christmas wish.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is for them to just be a kind of a happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of convenient rules that go along with her being sent back.
Oh, we have
back.
One very important thing before we get to the rules, which is that just before she slips and hits her head, she turns down some roast chestnuts.
Oh, yes. I was watching that and I was like, yeah.
If she'd taken the roast chestnuts, none of this would happen.
She wouldn't have slipped. Yeah,
they're the MacGuffin in this film, is that bag of roast chestnuts. So it's a perfect film for us to be watching.
But yeah, she gets sent back down from heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of save, she has a week, 7 days, and the seventh day, I think, is Christmas Day.
Yeah.
She has a week to save this family and kind of bring them joy and peace, and then she's going to go back up to heaven. And there are so many convenient rules.
There is. They can't form attachments to her.
Yeah.
That's one, which seems impossible. She can inspire, but not interfere.
Yeah. She's not allowed to talk to anyone she knew. On Earth.
Yes.
They can't see her. Isn't that it as well? Are there some rules where you can...
Some people can see her and some people can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of movies and TV shows with angels in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
Highway to Heaven.
Which one is it?
Highway to Heaven in the 80s. The dad from Little House on the Prairie plays an angel who just goes around helping people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's Legion with Paul Bettany.
Well,
remember
that one?
It was... No. Kind of a flop where angels are like fighting among us and stuff. It's really bad. There's loads of big names in it, which
okay.
is kind of weird. And it's about a girl is pregnant and Paul Bettany's got to guard her. It's kind of like Children of Men,
ooh.
But not okay. a dystopian classic. Just like a really bad film. And then any of you see that BBC or ITV or Channel 4, one of those channels, had a show 3 or 4 years ago called Eternal Law.
No.
And it was about a law firm run by angels on earth.
Sounds awful.
And there were two guys in it. Sam West, Timothy West's son was in it. And another guy. And then the baddie was the bad angel. I don't know, Mike. I don't know what their names are. And I don't read the Book of Revelations. So I only focus on the Gospels and the parables. And they... Tobias Menzies plays a bad angel, and it's about these angels fighting, but they're in like a town like Leeds. It was the worst show ever.
How much of it did you watch?
The whole thing. I'm a big Tobias Menzies fan.
If you like that kind of thing, I would advise going back and watching Highway to Heaven. I think it might be on Netflix.
Okay.
It was one of my first TV shows that I was definitely like bet into.
And there'll be Good Omens next year as well.
Oh yeah.
Which is David Tennant and Michael Sheen.
Yeah.
In a Terry Pratchett film.
Yeah. They're playing angels.
Yeah. Gabriel and Azrael. Who are trying to protect and encourage the Antichrist alternately.
Sounds
who's been
good.
Born
okay,
on Earth.
Good.
Yeah, and it's a comedy.
Religious. Oh, I wanted a real serious one there.
Yeah.
I wanted a.
I have to say,
Blade Runner of Angels.
I quite liked Kristen Charlotte from Sex and the City's Angel in A Heavenly Christmas because she broke some of the rules.
She broke all the rules.
Yeah, and she was a bit kind of devil may care.
Yeah.
She wasn't really used to socialising. Like, she was a bit odd with people.
Yeah.
Because she spent so much time at the office. But yeah, she was nice. She wasn't a bad person in it. The only thing is she had loads of regrets about, like, spending time with people. And, which I think came up, I'm using Bing at the moment. Because I'm really enjoying
Speaking
using
of regret,
Bing. I enjoy it. And you get the MSN homepage. Okay. So random stuff comes up in your news. Like every day there's like, woman nearly killed here. And you're like, oh dear. And then listicles come up. But one of them was the top five regrets to dying. And it's a McGuardian article from 2010 or something, or 2012. A nurse wrote it. And one of them was people regretted working so much. And this is what I was thinking of with this movie. I was thinking of my MSN homepage.
Yeah. And... she did regret working too much. She kind of had to infiltrate into Will from Will and Grace's family, and then the tragic child, the orphan niece. And he had a few, who else was in his family?
Oh, the grandparents.
Oh, the grandparents. Evil grandparents. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of blasé grandfather and
the
evil grandfather
grandmother. Did not give a crap. He had two lines in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So were they the dead dad's parents?
Yeah. Yes. So there
so
was
the dead brother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah,
Will's so there were dead brother-in-law. Yeah. Yeah. And they wanted to bring the kid to live in Florida with them. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't that evil, but they were a bit evil. They were the only baddies in it, really.
Yeah. The only antagonists.
Yeah.
They kind of broke the boundaries of how you should approach that by going directly to her.
Yeah.
And just without talking over with him first and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were only... the whole relationship between all of these people only lasted a week, and a lot happened, I felt. I felt it was a little bit fast.
Oh, they in all these movies, people move on very fast in past relationships. Girlfriends of 5 years get dumped and the men find love with like cupcake artists, and like, we need some revenge films to follow up for Halloween, because I'm not cool with this blasé.
There isn't a wronged woman in this one. There isn't a couple of the other ones we're doing today, but this one, that there is no one. Luckily enough, he has kind of a hermit life.
I kind of felt that this movie did have, and you see this in one of the other movies we're going to discuss later in an episode, the whole angel and fairy stuff, which is really big at the moment. And like, there's a bit where the little girl says, you're an angel, and she goes, I guess I am, or something lying like that. And I was like, in Ireland you can legitimately now say to a stranger, yeah, I have an angel, and we all just nod, because aunts now have angels.
Yeah, aunts and mams are really into angels now, aren't they?
Yeah, and like, if you go to a kind of a information day for like patient groups and stuff like that, and they have like Reiki people, I got Reiki. I prefer acupuncture, where they stick a needle into you. I'm like, that's a physical sensation. And they have all these like people set up in the rooms. They have angel cards now at them.
Oh.
And people are like, that's... it's all over the country, and you can't judge people on it because it brings people solace with loss and things like that. So, but I thought that this movie, I was like, when the little girl says she's an angel, if you were in Ireland in like a Bewley's and you heard that, you'd be like, all right, grand. We're at that now. So,
but nobody knew she was an angel. She was the only
one. She had a halo. Some scenes. Did you see that?
There was some confusion. Sometimes she was kind of translucent and very angel-like.
Yeah.
And then other times she was just a normal person.
I think she could choose, couldn't she?
I think maybe she
could teleport
as well. That was one of the convenient rules, was that.
Because a little bit later she gets up to some spooky ghostly stuff. Like, she's like, leaves mysterious reeds around. And
Yeah. She's breaking rules.
Yeah.
But then there's a section kind of three quarters of the way through. So the story kind of progresses, and she's trying to help this Eric McCormack, Will from Will and Grace, and the niece. And another tragic layer of his story was that him and his dead sister had a record deal when they won America's Got Music, and then they lost the record deal, and he didn't want to go back to music.
So then he spent all the money and was being pursued through the courts. So it'd be in his interest not to make music and not to make money. And then Kirsten Davis uses her connections.
Yeah, this was... so she uses an old client of hers to help get Will from Will and Grace a spot in the Christmas concert, the big Chicago Christmas concert. Would this man not have heard that she had died?
Yes, a woman slips and her head cracks open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone will be talking about that.
Like, he used to be her client, and he's just like, oh, Charlotte from Sex and the City, so nice to see you. I'm like, he would have known. He would probably have been at her funeral. Yeah.
Maybe he's very busy with the concert.
This is where I started to see the twist coming.
Like, a girl was walking down...
I did not see the twist coming at all.
Oh, I did.
The twist, the one at the end where...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if I had heard a girl was walking down Grafton Street and slip because of her Marks and Spencer heel or whatever,
and
because they weren't crazy heels, and died, I would be on WhatsApp. I'd just be there to my friends, make sure you're wearing Clarks.
No,
make sure you slice those the thing in your feet, the leather. Make sure you've got grip on that. I'd be like so into it.
So that was just a slight plot hole in a sea of acceptable plot holes.
Yeah,
it's airtight besides that.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah. Oh, and there's somewhere else where she nearly kisses Will from Will and Grace, and Shirley MacLaine takes on like a kind of a physical form and yanks her away.
Yeah, and throws snow at them.
Yeah,
and
dumps the snow on her head.
Mean.
Yeah.
Oh, also Charlotte does something very risky when she's doing her spooky tricks. She manifests in a building made entirely of glass in her old workplace, where every single surface is made of glass. Someone had to have seen her. Like, it does a ridiculously risky thing to do, just to look at a
Was she being invisible? That was that one of her invisible times.
She had to touch
times?
Stuff. That she was looking at her computer.
Yeah, she was moving stuff around. Wasn't
and
she?
Opening doors and stuff. So I feel like she had to have been physical.
Did you believe the relationship between her and Will from Will and Grace?
Oh yeah, they were both so lame. Like, he makes really bad jokes. Yeah. Like, remember, a dog comes up to her and she's like, "Dogs usually hate me," and then these two dogs love her because she's an angel.
Yeah,
and obviously has loads of pheromones or whatever, and the dogs are loving it and they're licking her face, but she's also like backing away from the tongue because she's Charlotte from Sex and the City. And the guy who owns the dogs is really rude and just standing there just kind of grunting, and Will from Will and Grace goes, "I guess you could say you've a new leash on life." And the guy just looks super depressed and walks off. And you could just see that, like, he makes really bad puns throughout. And Charlotte from Sex and the City is just kind of like doing it like, oh.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to go the long way in this.
Yeah, I found them quite believable. I felt there was a bit of chemistry between them.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't expecting.
No, they're both exactly as attractive as each other.
Exactly.
They look like brother and sister.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
I found his early 2000s look very distracting, though. The tan and the very white teeth and the awful leather jacket.
I felt like he was channeling Luke from Gilmore Girls.
Oh yeah, he was a bit.
Because
like
he has
that.
A diner. He's gruff. He wears plaid sometimes.
He's not that gruff though. He's very groomed.
Yeah.
No, like his manner when he's in the diner. He's quite gruff, I found. It could be because I'm comparing everything to Gilmore Girls this year, so I watched all of it over Christmas last year, and then next year it'll be something else. Whenever I like box set this year,
a Mindhunter.
Yeah, everything's like Mindhunter. Yeah.
Elias Grace.
He's not like Ed Kemper in that he hugs people.
So will we say the end of the movie?
Oh, we should. Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah. What happens is Shirley MacLaine, the little girl decides, actually, I want to stay here. We can make it work, to Will and Grace. And he's like, delighted. And he calls
Will
your
and
man.
Grace.
He calls the contact who, when Charlotte is pitching him, gives insider information and shares.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was a bit like, trading. I was like, whoa.
And Shirley MacLaine's like, another rule broken there.
Yeah, I was like, law, an actual law.
She breaks all of the angel rules and there's no repercussion at all.
Yeah.
So, like, they're just empty, empty threats.
Shirley MacLaine's like, I should have mentioned, there's also no insider trading. Yeah. Didn't think I'd have to mention that one, but here we are. You've done that one as well.
Yeah. So. Maybe she's been doing it all up along. And
maybe Shirley MacLaine just made up those rules just to make it harder for herself to amuse herself, because she's been dead for a long time and she's seen a lot of these young whippersnappers coming in.
The saddest thing about Shirley MacLaine though is she goes down to visit her husband
who's still alive,
and she's watching women bring him casseroles.
Yeah,
and she's like, I'm just making sure how he's getting on. I don't want him to end up with that woman.
She's just there spooking around.
Yeah,
I thought
that was lovely.
Yeah.
I do that. So she gets Shirley MacLaine corners her and she's like, listen, your work here is done. You're finished the mission.
Yeah,
and
the family is happy.
Charlotte's like, oh no. And then Shirley MacLaine goes, but I've changed the rules and you're going to go back on Earth, but you're not going to remember any of this. Since she wakes up and Shirley MacLaine's her nurse in the ER room, and turns out she's been in a coma. But she's the freshest looking thing I've ever seen.
And it looks like they filmed it just in the corner of an office. Like, I've never seen anything that looks less like a hospital in my life. She's kind of just lying on a couch. Like, oh, I've come to.
Like, I had surgery a few years ago and like I came in that morning and I left that evening. They basically give you a load of rich tea to make you pass something, and then they're like, bye. they just give you a pack and they're like, goodbye, well, here's some coffee, everything. But like, I look terrible, like the whole thing. Like, I went in the morning, but like I left in the evening and I was like, if I was lying still, I'd assume I was dead. And that was like a really minor surgery where I had my makeup bag with me, but like she came out of hers just looking.
She was glowing. She was actually glowing.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Shows what a break
set.
Can do for you.
Oh no, she had been in a coma, hadn't she?
Yeah.
Like, to her family. So the brother and the nephews they all thought she was in a coma.
Hmm.
So then she wakes up from the coma and Shirley MacLaine has told her that she's not going to remember any of it.
But she's got kind of residue emotions left over. Mm. Like she's not taking work as seriously. She puts Carter, her rival in work, in for the promotion. Yeah. She hosts a Christmas party.
She's like Scrooge when he wakes up on Christmas Day and he's like, I'm so happy to be alive. Yeah. But it's like singing and dancing around the streets.
And then she goes to the concert because she runs into her insider trading.
This was another plot hole that I was confused about.
Yeah, and he's like, comes to the gig. And she goes to the gig and runs into Eric McCormack after.
So he's playing at the gig.
Yeah, he finally got his slot. And she's like, your song was so lovely. But she's singing along to the song as well. And everyone's like, how do you know the lyrics? And she's like, I don't know.
I've never met this man before in my life.
And then she meets him after and bam.
But the plot hole that confused me was, so in the storyline where she's the angel, it's Charlotte from Sex and the City that gets him that slot in that concert. Mm. But if she was in a coma the whole time in this other storyline, how did he end up at the concert? Who got him in the slot?
Like, I think she was sliding doors. Wasn't she an angel?
Was it like Sliding Doors where it was like, was she an angel and in a coma?
That's what I thought. That she was like... what's the word? Astral projecting.
But then would he not recognise her?
No, because remember, they've all forgotten her.
Shirley MacLaine has gone, well, whoops, changed the rules.
That was in the rules. No, when there was that, they'd all forget her once it was done. So that would also include the promoter. He wouldn't know why he booked the guy as well, would be my explanation for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love time travel in movies, but this one, I don't know, I don't think I handled it as well.
Do you think it was time travel? Or I thought she was actually in a coma for like 5 days.
Time travel and like messing around with... dimension and space.
Yeah.
Like, usually
I was just confused because this woman had come into Will from Will and Grace's life and helped him sort out his life in a week. And it was because of her that he ended up playing at this Christmas concert and fulfilling his dream of being a musician. So then was he not wondering at the end of the week, where did she go?
Do you know what? You could say this is a metaphor for the hidden role of women in men's success.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I don't think, maybe that's why it's a lifetime or a hallmark for all the things.
She's just been pasted out of his entire narrative.
She's been written out of history.
But so they live happily ever after.
I actually welled up at a bit near the end.
Which bit?
It took me totally by surprise. When he said the song was called Christmas Eve, I was like,
oh,
that's her name.
Yeah, so her name, that's why her name is important. Her name is Eve.
And this is a brand new song that he writes. Eve. And everybody loves it.
And he gets a standing ovation. Yeah. And it's truly a terrible song.
It's not a great song. Yeah.
No. Well, no, actually, I've down here, did we rate song ? In my notes. And I go, I did, comma, but I like Keith Urban. No, everyone's giving up a Keith Urban song.
I was impressed.
Female.
There was a couple of musical moments throughout the film. They played that entire Carpenter's Christmas song. Merry Christmas, darling.
Oh, yeah.
So they must have had, they played the whole thing during a montage or something. So they must have got the rights.
Wasn't
they
were like, let's work. In the middle of the film as well.
Yeah, there was a
that
montage.
That was good.
Yeah.
I liked
CGI
that.
CGI was really bad as well.
The
city skyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely did shoot in Chicago. Yeah. Yeah, it's like real copy and paste or something.
And a really weird time of day as well, like a really weird pinkish orange that definitely wouldn't blend with the lighting in any green screen studio. Yeah. It's like they set themselves a really hard challenge for bad green screen.
And there's a really weird plot running through it about her minutes on her phone.
Oh yeah.
They keep talking about it. She's like, going to run out of minutes and you're like, buy more credits, Charlotte.
So when she arrives back down to Earth from heaven, she doesn't have a phone because she's an angel. And she tells Will from Will and Grace, oh, I can't get in touch with you because I've no phone. And he buys her one, like a pay-as-you-go kind of 90-minute one. And that is a running thing throughout the film. It's really odd.
Yeah. It's for the big payoff at the end where one of them says, I don't want us to run out of minutes. And they engineer back through the whole film. That's how they do that.
Yeah.
But that's the big line. I guess we're... prepaid phones topical in 2016. I can't remember back
definitely
that far.
Definitely
not. Lots happened since then.
Ireland is a real high usership of smartphones. Like we have per person's head or whatever the economist term is. We have a lot of phones and we're really early adopters of smartphone technology. So maybe in America they're still on the Nokias in your dad's drawer.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
But I mean, that plot line kind of held things along a bit because there was a point where they needed to get in touch with her and then they couldn't because she had no minutes. And, you know, will they get in touch? Who knows? Did you see the twist coming that she was going to be still alive at the end?
No,
yes.
I didn't at all.
I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know how they were going to do it.
I don't think I've watched enough of these films. Possibly, I thought they might give her like give her a second chance or something, and make her go back in time, and she'd have to meet him for real again or something.
They actually made it more complicated than I thought. I thought it would just be that she had actually just been asleep the whole time, and it had been a dream.
Because, it could have been.
Because before she hits her head, she does meet Will from Will and Grace in a taxi.
Yeah, but it could have all been a dream.
Yeah.
So he could have actually reached his audition in the first place.
Yeah.
And we just don't know. We didn't see that.
Yeah. But there was an awful lot of fluttering around with Shirley MacLaine and rules.
Suppose when you've paid for Shirley MacLaine to show up on set, you're probably just going to write extra lines.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, she's here today. We have to use her.
I'm going to stick to my astral projection theory. That they both happened. She was in a coma and she was in the diner.
I feel like maybe just there wasn't a whole lot of attention to the plot. And
very possible.
They just kind of tied it up at the end and they were like, this is fine. I mean, I was fine with that too.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I was okay. I was pretty chill with the whole thing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It is only an hour and a half long.
They're all only an hour and a half long.
But it felt like it was 3 hours long.
Yes.
Not necessarily in a bad way, but there was a point where I couldn't believe it was still on and that I'm still watching it.
They pack a lot of plot into these films.
Yeah.
There's very little in the way of just like frivolous scenes that don't actually advance
the plot. But then there were some musical scenes where they played an entire song and just...
Yeah.
There was a bit where Will from Will and Grace and Charlotte were dancing and that went on for...
That's true.
They must have spent a bit on the music because it opens with that Darlene, Love Is It...
Yeah,
Christmas.
There's some proper songs in it.
That's a Hallmark Hall of Fame money. That's where it's coming in.
So they did spend money on some parts of it, not on location.
Not on location, no.
Yeah, they did not get that tax break.
Wardrobe wasn't great, I didn't think.
One thing a note I had in this about the whole kind of these women who, she's emotionally cold because they haven't settled down and their cats are their babies and they value their work life. And I'd love for one of these women in these movies to answer the when did you last let anyone in question with like a really detailed synopsis of trauma in their lives and how they're exploring it in psychoanalysis. And then they're like, oh, and I'm bringing historic sexual abuse charges against Uncle Trevor, by the way. So that's the last time I let someone in. Yeah.
Instead of just, I went on a date last Tuesday.
Yeah. Because there's a bit where she's like, I'm in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend. You can do that now with the smartphones, I guess. She's like, I'm in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend. He's in the future. Yeah. And I'm just there like, the brother looks here like, that's not funny. But I would have laughed. I'd have been like, good for you, Eve.
I felt like at the end, the evil grandparents turned around very quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
So the evil granny was getting like a little bit too evil towards the end. She was like, no, we're whisking this child away to Florida. She's not going to live with her uncle anymore. She's going to live with us. And then I think Charlotte from Sex and the City is like, that's a bad idea. And they're like, okay, woman, we've known for 6 days. You're right. Let's all live happily ever after.
Yeah.
I think when she realized that her husband wasn't fully behind her, she was like, oh, yeah. I thought I was... like had a lot of support in this, but maybe it's just me. I'm on my own. So
yeah, he's really enjoying that retirement in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to look after a child.
No.
He's also already looked after a bunch.
Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. She did lose her son.
Yeah.
That's
in the
true.
Car crash.
Yeah.
It is really sad.
Yeah. Oh, and then at the very end, the sister, the dead sister, appears beside Shirley MacLaine in heaven.
No.
Yeah, that's the
Missed
dead
that
sister.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like it's actually a double bluff where
they send
the sister is the head angel and she sent Shirley MacLaine to send Eve to make her brother happy.
Yeah.
So it's like
did you ever see that Nicholas Sparks movie?
I'm going to say no categorically, I haven't.
Is it called Safe Harbor?
No.
Oh, it's very good, but there's a twist with a dead person guiding everyone's life. We don't realise they're dead type thing.
Oh.
Like a rom-com Sixth Sense type stuff.
Oh,
and when you realise that in the cinema, our whole row, my sister and her friends and me, I just started howling. We all started howling, laughing, and other people sitting got really upset with us.
Oh.
We were like, when your twist is, they are a ghost, it deserves to be laughed at.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say that as someone who loves these crap movies, but I was like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of these films have an orphan in them, but this film, because it's a Hall of Fame film, has double orphans, has Eve and her brother and...
Oh,
Max's niece.
Yeah.
So there's two layers of orphanage going on. which I think is just makes it a Hall of Fame bigger.
I'd be interested in seeing the stats on orphans in America after watching these movies.
Every film we've watched so far has had an orphan, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And everyone we're going to watch probably will have an orphan of some sort.
And I've noted in one of our future movies, I was like, oh, that's the first time I've seen a person of colour speak.
Oh.
In that AV Club article, they pointed out there's no very few people of colour in these films at all. And none of them have a lead who's a person of colour. And none of them have gay relationships as a lead.
Yes.
Either.
They push a conservative agenda, which we're pushing as well, I guess,
even though it's not a religious agenda, which is weird.
Yeah, this one did have a God element as opposed
but
to
not like
Christmas.
A Christian morals kind of message, I would have thought.
Yeah. I feel like
you could argue it did have a conservative Christian message in that, like, telling her not to go for the promotion and to give it over to the guy.
Yeah.
And not to spend as much time at work, because there are theories that attachment parenting and that practice stems from the conservative Christian community, because it's a way to stop women from going back to work.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if I made that up, but it doesn't matter anymore. welcome to 2017 or whatever year we're in.
I think you can definitely apply that theory to this film, but I don't know if this film was written with that theory in mind.
Don't know.
It's hard to know. It's just, it's very hallmark.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about the film? Do you have more notes?
Wouldn't watch again.
There was a side, what I thought was going to be a side plot of Eve, Charlotte from Sex and the City's assistant, seemed to be steamrolling in with the, I'm going to steal all her clients.
Yeah.
And it was like, ooh, where's this little hussy coming from? And then it just, she just turns out she's just nice and she just wanted to keep her work going.
Because I have a revisionist teary way of looking at the movie Working Girl, where you shouldn't root for Melanie Griffith.
Okay.
Because we don't know if Sigourney Weaver was going to help her get ahead. She was sussing out the situation.
Yeah.
And she was a woman in that workspace. She could have helped her up along.
Yeah.
And also, I just figure if I was working in a place and Melanie Griffith, like, oh, this is the girl who got promoted. She screwed over Sigourney Weaver there last week, and Sigourney Weaver's now lost her job and she's going to be working with you. I'd just be like, well, she's not sitting with me at lunch. I don't consort with those sort of people. But, like, you know, she does go in when Signori's sick and take over that office.
Yeah, she does. She.
So I think they're like, I'd love to see a kind of a television update of a sort of working girl thing where the woman in management isn't the evil person. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I don't know how popular it would be. I find Working Girl is actually quite scary when you look at it in retrospect, haven't worked.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I watched it there recently and you are a bit like, it's just a bit cold. It's a bit Machiavellian what she's at here, but.
But I suppose it was a different time. Like, they were all like, you know, women in a men's world. And also, Sigourney Weaver just looks amazing in the whole movie. She looks incredible.
I think that Heavenly Christmas?
Heavenly Christmas.
The fact that the assistant, first of all, seems to be kind of a Melanie Griffith style character who's going to come in and steal all of her clients. But then when she comes back from the coma, is like, oh, I've kept the business going for you, is maybe a hint towards the fact that the angel thing was all a dream and that she was just in a coma the whole time.
You're not letting this go, are you?
No. It's just, there's too many holes in that plot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was disappointed they didn't do more with the assistant. I felt like she could have been.
Yeah, a lot of these films hint at a more interesting subplot and never go to it. Like in our first film, or our second film, where they hint at a big crime that was happening. That she was investigating.
Alan's still upset about that.
I'm so upset about that film. I was reading forward to
it. I'll be home for Christmas, episode 2, directed by James Brolin, with a kicking soundtrack by Bab Streisand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. I liked it, actually, looking back.
Is there not another film called I'll Be Home for Christmas?
There's 7 of them.
Oh, okay.
One of them has Jonathan Taylor Thomas in it.
Wow. One has the Dreamgirls actress.
Oh, Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson.
Isn't there one that's more kind of mainstream-y?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, like Family Stone level of Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
Family Stone. There's a film.
I know, but it's not made for TV, so we can't discuss it.
Yeah.
Also, I'm delighted this is aimed at TV movies, because if we'd done like other movies we liked, Shallow Girl would have been on it, and with the Ed Westwick allegations at the moment, we would not have looked good.
No.
So,
I didn't like Shallow Girl, so I think I'm one of the only people on earth who doesn't like it. But
you're woke now, aren't you? So I'm glad we've stuck to Hallmark Hall of Fames.
Yeah, everybody in those is completely unproblematic.
I often find myself asking myself, the success of something is, would I watch it, read it, listen to it again? Mm-hmm. Would you watch this film again?
No.
That's a categoric no from Jean.
But I wouldn't watch 12 Years a Slave again. I'd say that was a very good movie, but like, I just couldn't do that again.
I think I might watch it again.
I'd leave it on if it came across.
I found Will from Will and Grace's musical interludes entertaining enough that I would like to see them again.
Yeah.
And I would like to show them to somebody else and just be like, guys, get a load of this.
Yeah.
Listen to this bad. He only knows four chords. That's fairly obvious on the guitar. His singing voice isn't bad, but there's just a lot of his singing in the film.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was like, no, guys, I can totally pull off this character, musical character.
It's actually very in keeping the film. There's a character we completely forgot to talk about. And she gets forgotten a lot. Sally from the diner, who is obviously very much in love with Will from Will and Grace,
the blonde woman. Yeah,
she does everything for him. She looks at him with love in her eyes, and he gives her nothing.
And you know what? There's no need for that character even to exist.
No, there's a friend group. There's the other guy. I can't remember his name.
These movies, there's a lot of women like unrequitedly in love with the leading men in the background. There's a lot of forgotten chicks.
Yeah.
Okay. Sad, I think.
So we have a no, a maybe, and two maybes for watching it again.
Yeah, I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might watch it again. I might recommend it to somebody.
Yeah. I'm glad I did watch it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Star power and all that.
Yeah.
I was sad when I Googled Will from Will and Grace because he has been in nothing else apart from, well, he's been in other things, but they are not worth mentioning.
I wouldn't feel sad for him, to be honest.
Yeah. Genuinely. I know he's got the Will and Grace money, but... Has anyone watched the new Will and Grace?
No.
I didn't really like Will and Grace to begin with. I wasn't. Sitcoms, I'm kind of funny with them. Like, I rewatch Friends because I grew up with it, but I don't think it's that funny. I love Designing Women, and I have watched a good bit of The Golden Girls, but Golden Girls for me, it was a really funny story because I recorded on I was sharing a house with people, and I put it on the recorder and it deleted everyone else's stuff. So there was a box of The Golden Girls, and everyone got so annoyed. And I was like, but it's The Golden Girls.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's probably better than what you were watching.
Yeah.
It was the high point of like Made in Chelsea days. You know, people really love Made in Chelsea and people didn't know how to torrent. It was back in those dark days.
Yeah.
So you taped over their Made in Chelsea
With The Golden Girls.
Public service, if you ask me.
Yeah. So I like those ones, but I haven't watched a lot of the more recent ones. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you a sitcom. I haven't seen an episode of Modern Family.
Very okay. The first season or two was good.
But
Yeah.
It's grand. The Good Place. Everybody should watch The Good Place.
The Good Place is very good.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
There we go. Also About Heaven. Wrapping it up. It's also About Heaven. Wrapping
actually,
it up.
Yes. I actually found myself thinking of The Good Place because I was like, do I like these kinds of films where somebody's an angel? Not really. Because I'm always afraid it's not going to end happily.
Yeah.
Would you like to be an angel?
I'd like to be in heaven because I like I love The Good Place, and also like Heaven Can Wait. Remember, it's an old 70s film.
Not Warren Beatty.
It's not. It's what's that guy's name? Albert Brooks. Yeah, where you go to heaven and you have to watch your life back, and it gets evaluated, and if you're not good enough, you have to go back again.
Oh.
And he falls in love with someone who's definitely going through to heaven, and he's not. So he's kind of trying to.
Yeah, see, I don't like this uncertainty in these heaven films.
Yeah.
And there was a bit in this Heavenly Christmas where I was afraid that she wasn't going to come back down to Earth, where she was going to have to just go back to heaven, and that was going to be the end of it. I mean, I knew really in
when
my head.
On the beach.
Hold on a minute. Wasn't there a TV show with your man who was Mr. Selfridge,
Jeremy Piven?
Piven, where he played Cupid, who was like technically an angel, and he came down to Earth and he had to do matchmaking.
I would not want to be matched with anybody who Jeremy Piven would think I was a good match for.
Awful. Yeah, I think that was Cupid. Like, he came down, he was an angel put on earth to like help
that
people
sounds
find
familiar,
love.
Like 98, 99 kind of time.
Yeah.
Pre-Entourage, post-Ellen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was a TV show I watched.
God.
Yeah. For some reason, I've seen a lot of Jeremy Piven's IMDb. He was in Chasing Liberty as well. Do you remember that?
No.
No.
Oh my God. Okay, can I do Chasing Liberty before we leave?
Yeah, go
just
on.
Really quick. Mandy Moore, Matchy Good. Mandy Moore is the president's daughter, and they're traveling in Italy or someplace
sold.
In Europe.
Absolutely.
And she sneaks out, and they don't want to make it into an international incident because of the press. They'll think everyone fucked up. And next thing, who she runs into on his holidays as well, Matthew Good. Little does she know, he's actually a secret agent. And he's, so they think, she thinks she's gotten away, which he's actually tailing her.
Extremely romantic.
And like, there is mopeds through Italy and all this. I think she might lose her virginity to him in the movie. That's how good we're talking. In Venice. And he's terrible in it. She's terrible in it. And Jeremy Piven and another actress play the secret agents trailing them. And they've got kind of a would they, won't they type vibe going. And Jeremy Piven is doing funny things with his hair. And the girl says to him at one stage, listen, you're losing your hair, just shave it off. And he ends up doing that. And I was just a bit like, as a child, I thought this was like a teenager. I was like, wow, women can bully men. And I felt really good watching that film.
This film sounds right up my street. Oh, Mandy yes. Moore is
definitely an
amazing rom-com star. Bad rom-com star.
Oh, she's amazing. She's the person Jennifer Garner, I'd say, looks at her and would hate. And she's like, that's yeah. who I was meant to be, beloved by the people.
Can you compare it to First Daughter starring Katie Holmes?
You definitely can, because they came out the same year, because I saw them both in the cinema, I think.
Okay, I've seen First
I'm like
Daughter.
Mad for a First Daughter yeah. Chasing Liberty like TV show.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's rehabilitating the bushes Chasing at the moment. So
you've sold Chasing Jenna. Liberty to me, I'm going to watch it.
Oh, it's very good.
Yeah, okay. Delighted.
It's great. And it's got like interrailing in it and stuff. Amazing. Loved it.
Yeah.
Pre-Amanda Knox type trips, American girls in Italy. Really good.
All right, so.
Yeah.
There we go. thank you, Emer.
Thank you,
Alan, for joining us. Oh my God, What a Queer Lashling is A, in the shops, and B, brilliant. So
thank you.
Super good. Yeah. I cried loads, read it in a weekend, had to put it down a couple of times to bawl.
Yeah, my wife read it in like a night as well. She's like, this is so good.
Thanks,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear it's an amazing
my entire family's read it as well.
Good. I'm delighted. Yeah. Thank you.
So, well, we should thank Dee McDonald for the artwork, because it's amazing.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah.
And Daniel McCauley of Cloud Castle Lake, he did the music.
Lovely.
Yeah. And he's a single out now. Great if you can buy it. I don't see any of that money.
So there we go. We'll be back next week with, next film is Christmas with Holly.
Christmas with Holly.
So
it's
watch that
good.
And we'll see you in a week. Bye everybody.
Bye.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.